Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres on the counter here into the Utah zone. Osland drops it. Roseanne back to Osland for a shot, and that's high. Roseanne tips it in front. They score! Noah Osland parked in front of the net. Picks up his first, and the Sabres tie the game at one.
Cheers heard from Rochester, Minnesota, all the way across the Atlantic to his homeland of Sweden. Really? My guy! He finally got it last night. Noah Osland.
Pick Kessel Ring for any time goal scorer, but this is one that you should be kicking yourself for not picking Noah Osland.
He knows I've picked him countless times. He knows I'm in his corner. It's all good.
Well, it's not just the goal. Let's take a look at Noah's game and what he was able to call. Him and Roseanne were
Why don't we really find his dad? Where was his dad when this happened?
Yeah, where was his dad? His dad was probably watching it on TV, right? And it's the middle of the night over there in Europe, so probably went to sleep, got up, made himself a coffee, and boom, there you go. And he got to see his kid play a lot, like even late in the game, third period, last minute. Like, you've got Austin, you've got Roseanne on the ice, you've got Lindy Ruff was really trusting them on the defensive side of the game, and they created offense, and they were quick. That was a very big positive of the game last night. Maybe why I was so excited after the game, despite the fact they lost 2-1 in overtime, and it's five straight games going to OT, and you're 1-4 in those, but you're still 5-1-4 in the last 10. Still really good, but I was excited about what Osland and Roseanne have been able to do. Now Roseanne for a couple of games and Osland in that one.
The associate general manager of the Sabres and Amerks GM, Jason Karmanos, joins us at the bottom of the hour to discuss the development of those two players and certainly where the Amerks are right now, which is home to Syracuse tonight, part of a really good test week as they take on the Crunch tonight. And the Penguins on Friday, both of those games are at home. Then they're at Hershey on Sunday. So collectively, all three of those opponents are pretty staunch within the conference right now. So more so the first two home games, and the Amerks themselves off to a 7-3 start with Devon Levi getting another turn tonight to possibly improve to 6-0 on the season. The Sabres, though, as you mentioned, franchise tying, fifth straight game to overtime. They are 3-0-4 in the last seven. Incredibly, though, not to push too much on this because it is November 5th. There's 10 teams in the Eastern Conference separated by 2 points, and nobody is playing below NHL 500 right now.
And the two teams at 500 are two teams you probably didn't expect to be at 500 are the Rangers and the Florida Panthers. Everybody else is above 500, and there's nobody below, like you said.
I think my deliberations on the Rangers were likely to continue from preseason to midseason. I just don't know what to expect from them.
Yeah, very fair.
But no one could have written the script that they'd be sitting on 500 without a home win through six games at 0-5-1, being shut out in four of the six games. So that can be parked for a little later, probably in the week with, you know, Dregs or Shayna or whomever. But my point here is, what are we to make of all this? That yes, the Sabres are picking up points. They're in a massive group of teams that is basically unseparated at the moment in the East. Is it like, and in other years you would say, yeah, like you're glad to be picking up a point, but you kind of need to be a little more distant from some of these struggling teams, no?
You do, but I'm going to do the glass half full situation here is that you are staying in very much striking distance. And look, Colorado is what, 8-1-4, right? Like the Colorado Avalanche are rolling. They've only got one regulation loss. Have they lost games in overtime? Yeah. If you don't, and it's hard to not take in consideration the first three games of the season where the Sabres went 0-3 and lost and scored only two goals.
Right.
But take those three away. You're 5-1-4. There's no, nobody saying like you can't win the next three and be 8-1-4 in the last 13. And all of a sudden you're like, that's what Colorado's is at. And right. Colorado's a fantastic team. So the first three games of the year kind of put a little bit of a shade over that 5-1-4, saying that, man, if instead of 5-1-4, if it was 7-1-2, like that would be like such a crazy good stretch. And that's just winning a couple of overtime games. And the two that I think has slipped away from the Sabres, for me, yeah, you had the Boston one where Husnadinov came down and you had the Toronto one. But it's the Columbus one where you miss your coverage in the zone and last night where you miss your coverage in the zone. Those were two that I feel like are very correctable. And I wish they would have been corrected in the spot that they wouldn't have given up those two points.
All right, so two things to react to from the players and coaches last night. Noah Ostlund's first goal, it allows Buffalo to get a point. Here's Lindy Ruff.
You know, I think last game he played previous to this one was one of his best. I like how that line played. I thought for the most part that was probably our biggest threat usually was when those guys were on the ice. So it was a good night. I thought Noah's game, you know, defensively played really well, helped us get out of our end in a hurry, and a well-deserved goal. I mean, really, we need that. You know, when you look at the number of people out, you know, two-thirds of what was your top line, you know, we're kind of moving some pieces around. We need their skill. We need their scoring ability that they've shown in the minors. This is the next step for them. This is the opportunity they're waiting for that, you know, all of a sudden they get 14, 15 minutes. And I think they've taken advantage of it. Both guys have played extremely well for us.
Both guys being Rosén and Ostlund.
Yes.
And yes, they are missing Benson. They're missing Norris, Danforth, Zucker, Kulik, and Kozak. And we'll provide an update a little later in the show as to the likely return of any of them tomorrow with St. Louis coming into town. But the fact of the matter is, we could be staring at a sixth straight overtime game for Buffalo tomorrow when St. Louis comes in. There's just very little to choose from between any opponent across the league right now. I mentioned the Eastern Conference. You look at the West. Look at the number of teams, the number of overtime losses
that
so many teams in the West have right now. So this is not an Eastern Conference thing. Like, everybody's picking up points. The Sabres just have to figure out a way to do better beyond regulation time.
Yeah, Colorado.
3-3 is about winning one-on-one battles. You know, I think we had our chance. Tuck went down, and then our coverage wasn't good enough. We lost coverage again on the high cycle, and we let Keller walk in. He shouldn't get that easy a look. I mean, he can get a look off of, you know, maybe our opportunity going the other way. I thought we should have stopped in front of their net at the other end, we would have got a change. We'd even had fresh bodies on.
You know, there's a lot of points up for grabs in overtime, and I don't want to be too, you know, pointed or specific, but I do think that there is a reason. And I think that, it's just like every other part of the game. It's like D-zone coverage. It's like your forecheck. It's like your power play. It's the same principles, you know. It's a game. Honestly, 3-on-3 is a game of risk management. That's all that it is. And I think it's a lot about feel, and it's a lot about patience. And, I think there's sometimes that urge to end the game. But really, it's just like playing 5-on-5. You just want nothing to happen until they make a mistake, and then you capitalize. That's kind of the name of the game. But we're going to get better at it. We're getting better at it. We're going to continue to grind, and we're going to continue to put our best foot forward.
Man, even if I had not been sitting next to you when Lindy Ruff was speaking last night, I would have thought of you instantly based on the Ruff comment we just heard. You have been adamant about players stopping, forcing a goaltender to freeze a puck in situations exactly like overtime last night.
Yeah, and I went back and looked at it again because Alex Tuck takes the shot, but he's already fading away in the shot, so he's curling back. I actually think that McLeod was pretty close, and he made a beeline towards the goal, but it was a really good play by Vemelka and Sergachev calling for the puck. Mm-hmm. Like, McLeod was almost there. I think if this is a 5-on-5 situation, Vemelka keeps the puck because McLeod was pressuring him, but Vemelka took a chance. Knowing it's OT, I don't want to face off. That's that. The coverage, look, I mentioned the Columbus game, the coverage in overtime. So it's man on man. And Lindy Ruff was not happy about Yuri Kulik's decision in the Columbus game to vacate Werenski and go after a Columbus player, and that had opened the door for Werenski to go to Miles Wood. So now I'm thinking in that situation, like Lindy Ruff comes in, guys, 3-on-3, man on man. You got your guy, you got your guy, everybody. So when Utah comes into the Sabre zone, Alex Tuck as Clayton Keller and Jack Quinn as Sergachev. But when Clayton Keller goes to the top of the zone and makes the circle and loses Tuck, I think Jack Quinn was thinking, again, like this is an overcorrection, but was thinking, it's man on man. It's man on man. And Tucky's going to come back and recover on Keller, and I have to slide over because my guy Sergachev's over there. But hockey's not played like baseball. Ball hit to the right field, you throw two bases ahead of the lead runner, whatever. You have to read the situation. And if you're the last guy back and your man has lost a step in his coverage on the player, you can't just open the door. I feel like Jack Quinn was too much of a gentleman, like open the door for Keller to say, go ahead, because I have my guy. It may be an overcorrection from what have been drilled into them, like 3-on-3, man on man, stay with your man. That was the mistake that was made right there.
So they fall last night. They've got St. Louis in tomorrow. We'll have more on the Sabres from practice and obviously with Jason Karmanos, the associate GM, at the bottom of the hour. Of course, it's a busy week at KeyBank Center because even after the Sabres homestand ends tomorrow night, we have the rivalry series here on Saturday. Note the start time. It is a 6 p.m. start between Canada and the United States. Women's hockey, great rivalry. Get your tickets now. It is going to be outstanding action in advance of everything that is to come between these great rivals in the women's game. Sarah Nurse from Team Canada joins us. She's gearing up for game one of the rivalry series in Cleveland tomorrow. Sarah, it's great to have you with us. It's an incredible time of year, I'm assuming, for you based on PWHL getting ready in a couple of weeks and Olympics on the horizon and, of course, the rivalry series.
Yeah, it feels like we're sprinting right now. So we're very excited to get things started with obviously NHL season, a lot of, you know, youth hockey, minor hockey already starting. So we're excited that our time's coming.
How different is it knowing that now you get to know these girls that you're playing against in the rivalry series? Like, we had Haley Skamura on last week, and you played with her in Toronto last year. Now you're going to play in the rivalry series against her, the Olympics. Like, you're looking across the ice, and you've got some teammates that you're going to be playing with. So how is that different every year now that you're getting the rivalry series going?
I think it's cool because we just push each other. You want to play against the best at all times so that you can ultimately be the best. So to be able to be happy for your teammates who make their other respective national teams is really awesome. But at the end of the day, we do want to win, but we want to play against the best for sure.
Historically, what has the rivalry series meant, especially in buildups to the Olympics?
I think it gives us just such meaningful games against each other. We've had such a heated rivalry and obviously some big matchups in World Championships and the Olympics as well. So getting to gear up against them, we know what to expect. We get to kind of scout them. They scout us. And
come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think by the time, you know, big games come, there are no real surprises. And I think that we just ultimately have to, you know, have that competitive edge and just really want it more.
So the emphasis on physical play in the PWHL has been great. Like all the physicality, mostly like along the boards, like there's no open ice hitting, but there's still some good physical play. And it's carried on to the rivalry series, but how are you guys adjusting for the Olympics, which may have a little bit of a different look when it comes to the physical play?
Yeah, it is definitely interesting because you have to, when we get to a world championship or Olympics, like you do have to tighten up. They don't let a lot of things slide. And so having that physicality is a huge part of what we do in the PWHL. And there's always been physicality with Canada and US rivalries, but you do have to be a little more careful, a little more intentional about when you do make contact and make sure that it is legal because, you know, we don't want to end up in the box because, you know, whether it's our team or their team, we're both very good on the power play and winning that special teams battle is super important.
For obvious and proper reasons, we focus on this rivalry, Canada-USA. But when it does get to Olympic time again, you welcome the world and its opponents. How much have you seen in the growth of competition and what do you expect moving forward here in the next few months?
Yeah, I look at the other countries and I mean, they've all evolved and grown so much in the last 4 years since 2022, our last Olympics. And I mean, like a team like Czechia, they are probably one of the most physical teams in the world, actually, the way that they play. Finland and Switzerland are always so incredibly skilled. And Japan just seems to be like very smart. They're like kind of pests out there. They're hard to play against. And so we kind of know what to expect from each team. But I think that each team has really elevated their game. They've learned from, you know, other countries and us and the Americans as well. And I think that the future of women's hockey across the globe is in a really special place.
You're preparing for your third Olympic Games. In your first one in 2018 in Pyeongchang, you got to score your first goal in an Olympic game. What was that like? Like that feeling that, oh my gosh, I'm at the Olympics and I scored a goal. I it just and take us through the whole situation.
Yeah, it was really cool, obviously. Me and my two line mates at the time, like, we were 22 years old. We were the youngest ones on the team. We played in the fourth line. And I just remember we're playing the Americans. You're kind of nervous. And we'd stepped over the blue line, and I just heard, like, our coaches yelling, like, dump the puck. Like, you have to get the puck in. And I had the puck on my stick, and I shot it. And you know when you just want to get a shot on net, so there's a whistle, the first line can come on, take the face off. The puck came off of my stick, and I saw how high it went. And I said, oh my gosh, if this rims out the other side and starts their breakout, like, we're not seeing the ice again. And it went top corner. Oh. it was a crazy moment for me and my family and my parents, because obviously playing at the Olympics is one goal, but then scoring at the Olympics is something that, you know, you just don't forget. And so that was a really special goal, a really cool moment.
And then an all-star in the next Olympic tournament. Amazing, yeah. Right?
Like, yeah, that was really cool.
It's so okay. So you reference being so young then. Mm-hmm. You're 30. Like, where do you feel in the hierarchy of the star power within the game?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that, like, me being 30, like, I definitely am one of the more veteran players on the team, but I still have players like a Poulin and a Spooner and Jet, like, who I just feel like they're older than me, not to be crazy, but I just feel like I still look up to them so much. And so I don't even feel like I'm at, like, the top, that veteran status. I feel like almost like a sophomore, a junior in college, you know. Nice. But it's really cool to have the young ones come in who are, like, bright eyed and bushy tailed, ready to go into their first Olympics. They bring so much energy, so much skill, so much talent. The game has changed so much. And so to see them really come in and own who they are and their strengths, it's been awesome to watch.
Now, you mentioned your family being excited for your goal and the skills and the talent. You come from a very talented, athletic family, obviously. A couple of cousins, Darnell in Edmonton and Kia playing in the WNBA. So what's that like? I saw you at the finals last year, right? You were there supporting your cousin. What's that like having other people in your family being on the big stage as well?
It's so fun. I mean, it's something that we all dreamed about when we were kids. And it's funny, we never really competed with each other. We always did different sports, and we weren't really against each other, up against each other. And so I think we've always supported each other, even though we don't get to see each other super often. But from afar, like, I just know that they're killing it, doing their thing. And I mean, I'm so proud of them. Like, seeing Darnell in the Stanley Cup Finals was like an absolute dream. And so it's really cool whenever they get to do some pretty amazing things. And like I said, we're all cheering on each other from different parts of the world. And so it's pretty cool. I mean, for parents, my grandparents, it's just really special.
Do you have some young stars in the game that you truly just admire and love watching right now?
Pardon?
Do you have, like, young star players in the game that you just admire? You referenced some of the older players that you still look up to, but are there young stars entering that you absolutely love to watch play?
Yeah, I think that, like, the talent, like I mentioned, like, has just gone through the roof. I look at, like, somebody on our team, like a Daryl Watts or like a Chloe Primorano, who, you know, Chloe is, like, I think she's born like 2008 or 2007. And so the way she, like, commands the puck, the blue line, the way she's able to skate with the puck, find her shot, I think is so impressive. And then somebody like Daryl is just like this natural goal scorer. It's like she has the puck is attached to her stick like a magnet. And I just look at them and the way that they train and the way that they hone their individual skills, I think is really impressive.
Now, obviously, the game has changed, but not just on the ice, off the ice as well. You're what do you say, queen vibe only on Instagram? That's like your description. 140,000 followers, like, that's pretty major. How do you like that aspect of, you know, being a role model but also being on social media and trying to inspire young women?
I think it's just a way to connect to people really everywhere. I think through hockey's been this incredible vehicle that I've been able to use to put myself in different rooms and situations with different people and have different opportunities. And I think that it's been an incredible ride with hockey. And I want to make sure that hockey is shown throughout the world and it becomes this global superpower. And not only men playing hockey, but girls playing hockey, people mm-hmm. different racial identities and backgrounds being welcomed into the game. And so I've just loved to use my platform to make it an inclusive space. And so it's been a lot of fun over the last few years.
So the rivalry series has games this week in Cleveland and Buffalo, and then it caps in Edmonton in the second week of December. And in the midst of it, the PWHL season starts on the weekend of November 21st. So we're just over 2 weeks away, and it's a new venture, and you're in Vancouver for that. What are the feelings there for you, having had this journey in the game, and yet this is like another almost, you know, it's another first, right?
Yeah. This year has been completely different than any year in the past. I mean, to be able to have a rivalry series still, and then obviously going into the PWHL season and then going into an Olympic Games, like it's just completely changed the landscape of what we're doing. We're excited about PWHL finally starting. I'm excited to get to Vancouver. I feel like I've been talking about this for months and months and months and months. And so to finally get there next week, I'm excited to hit the ground running with the team, with our staff, and really just like immerse ourselves into that community. And then, yeah, I mean, getting ready to gear up for a couple rivalry series games are going to be, like I said, very meaningful, very big in our team's development before going to the Olympics. And then ultimately, the Olympics is, you know, that big tournament that we all want to be in Milan this year. I think that's super exciting. Everybody has a lot of family coming over, and it'll just be a really great time and a way to cap off a pretty transformative 4 years in women's hockey.
Now, it's kind of funny because our show is called Sabres Live, and, you know, maybe you were always destined to be on the show because you played for the Stoney Creek Sabres as well. So it's like, so did you guys have the Sabres blue and gold? Like, how did that work when you were a kid playing there?
We were actually green and gold. So we were close. We were green and gold. But yeah, I played for the Stoney Creek Sabres. My first ever like house league hockey team, I was on the Sabres. And the first ever NHL game I think I went to was in Buffalo. So okay. I mean,
perfect.
There's a lot of connection there. There you go.
Amazing. How did you get into it the first time? Like what drove you to play house league minor hockey?
Yeah, I just love to skate. From the moment my parents put me on the ice, like it was at a local like pond by our house. Like it wasn't at an arena, but I just loved to skate. I took to it very quickly and I was good at it. And so it was figure skating or hockey. And my dad loved hockey. So he put me in hockey. And once he taught me the rules and were like, don't just do twirls at center ice. Like you have to put the puck in the net. Once I figured that out, then we were like off to the races. I was ready to go. And I really fell in love with the game. I just had fun with it for years and years and years. And I still do.
That's awesome. How intense or hard was training camp? Because you guys have been training now, you know, for a little while, and you got to do some fun stuff. But how intense and how hard was training camp?
Yeah, it's been very intense. It feels like it's never ending at this point. it's so excited because we finally see the light at the end of the tunnel. But we've been training very hard. We've had a block in Calgary. We had a block in Toronto and then a block in Montreal also. They actually altered training camps so that we could go to the World Series in Toronto. And so we hopped on a bus while we're in Montreal to go to.
I saw Tessa body surfing on top of you guys, like a good friend of the show, Tessa Bonham, got to really enjoy that.
Yeah, so that was very cool. I mean, we love Tessa. She's always a hoot. But yeah, the training has been super intense, but we're finally excited to kind of like deload and get ready into that performance stage because I mean, we play tomorrow. So it's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm.
Good luck with that, Sarah. Thank you so much for the time and insight and what promises to be just another incredible year for the game.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Saturday night, 6 p.m., Rivalry Series, USA Canada, game two of the Rivalry Series as the first one goes tomorrow in Cleveland. Definitely check it out. Tickets available, keybankcenter.com. Really great that we've got this series presented by Discover here in Buffalo this Saturday night. As for the Sabres, home tomorrow, throwback Thursday, they're in black and red. Looks like Luukkonen could be the guy based on practice today. But Marty, most importantly, Kozak in up front and a different look to the lines real quick.
A different look to the lines and something we discussed a little bit in the postgame show last night is maybe trying to get Tage Thompson going with different players. And so Ryan McLeod, Alex Tuck, and Tage Thompson are forming a line. Roseanne and Austin are still together, but with Jack Quinn instead of Peyton Krebs. And then you put Krebs with Greenway and Josh Doan, which they have that work mentality. And I think we'll have a really solid identity. And Kozak goes back to the middle with Dunn and Malenstein, which pushes Mason Gertsen outside of the top 12 right now. But I really like this configuration of the lines with Thompson, McLeod, and Tuck as your top line.
Right, and the Austin line that you're seeing with Roseanne and Quinn did skate at almost 6 minutes together last night at 5-on-5. We've got a road crew party going in Nashville this year, and it's going to be unlike any other because it happens on a holiday Monday afternoon. It's Monday, January the 19th, and the Sabres will simultaneously be in Carolina. So it's a watch party, road crew party. We're going to enjoy the game, and then, of course, the Sabres are in Nashville to take on the Predators the very next night. Can't wait for you to join us for this one. Proceeds support the Sabres Foundation. Secure your spot, sabres.com/roadcrew. Amerks are making a big impact on the Sabres already this season. Jason Carmanos is next on Sabres Live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.